You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Daniela Azarová. Coming up in today's program, are we a nation of bookworms in Czech life? Ruth Franková looks at Czechs' reading habits. After that, Karel Och, the artistic director of the Karlovy Vary Film Festival, will take us to his favourite haunts in Prague, courtesy of Ian Willoughby. And in the final part of our programme, a fresh report from our American foodie, Hallie Cranes. Desperate search for Mexican food in the Czech capital. Stay with us as we now turn to our first feature. March is National Reading Month in the Czech Republic, with special events taking place all around the country. There has always been a strong reading culture in the Czech Republic, but with all the new technologies available, do Czechs still have time to read? What kind of books do they prefer, and how much time do they devote to reading? In this edition of Czech Life, Ruth Franková tries to find the answers to these questions.
The Czech Republic has always had a strong reading culture. Czechs are known for having extensive home libraries, and to this day a book is considered one of the most popular birthday and Christmas gifts. During the communist era, books by forbidden authors were secretly passed down from hand to hand. There were also the so-called Book Thursdays, when booksellers released new titles and people would wait in queues for hours just to get hold of them. In fact, this tradition has recently been renewed, though people don't have to wait anymore. A recent survey has shown that the Czech Republic has the densest network of public libraries in the EU, with almost as many libraries as towns. Does that mean that Czechs still belong among the most avid readers in Europe? Jan Travnček is a literary theorist from the Masaryk University in Brno, who has conducted several surveys over the last 8 years focused on reading habits of Czechs.
The Czech Republic belong to the top of EU countries, meaning that the top is Scandinavian country, the Netherlands and Great Britain. This is according to criterion one book read within a year. It's generally taken for granted, this criterion, as a measure for reading as such. What we observe is a north-south axis in Europe. North Scandinavian countries, heavy reading, and south Spain, Portugal, Greece, small amounts of readers. As far as heavy reading is concerned, the Czech Republic is over the average within Europe. But surprisingly, as far as passionate reading is concerned, it means more than 50 books read a year. Czech Republic is again the top of Europe.
In terms of figures, around 12% of Czechs open a book every single day. On average, they devote about 30 minutes of their day to reading, compared to over 2 hours spent in front of the television. Jan Travnček offers some more data.
On average, 84% of Czech citizens aged 15 years and over read at least one book in 20 months. On average, Czech citizens read 13.2 books a year. And when asked how often they read, the largest group of Czechs, about one-fifth, say that they read books several times per week.
Czechs not only rank among the keenest readers in Europe, but as Jan Travnček points out, the Czech reading culture has some specific traits compared to the rest of Europe.
For example, a small urbanization gap. There is no difference between small, big countries and villages as far as reading is concerned. On the opposite, there is a big gender gap compared to European countries.
That means there is a big difference in the reading habits of men and women.
Yeah, not only reading habits, amount of books read. Women read more than men. This is generally taken for granted, but in the Czech Republic, the gap is bigger. There is no age gap. Yeah. It is very specific for the Czech situation compared, for example, to Poland or Germany, where reading is decreasing with age.
Despite their frequent visits to the public libraries, Czechs still hold on to the tradition of family libraries, although their size is gradually diminishing. On average, a Czech family owns around 250 books, but households with over 1,000 books are not an exception. What is also typical for Czechs is giving books as presents.
I have no clear explanation for it, but I think that this is also a question of tradition, yeah, of being involved in reading culture. And book is often taken in the Czech environment as a sort of treasure or something like that.
And what particular books do Czechs like nowadays? In fact, the list of most popular titles has not changed that much over the years.
The most popular book within our three surveys is The Egg and I, written by Betty McDonald. I have no specific explanation for this Czech behavior, but it's very Czech. And as far as the author is concerned, it's Michal Vivek.
Despite the somewhat unaccountable popularity of the 1940 memoir of a young wife's life at a chicken farm, Czechs also succumb to more general trends, with Fifty Shades of Grey, Harry Potter and Lord of the Rings also making it to the top five. As far as most widely read authors are concerned, along with the Czech novelists Michal Vivek, the list also includes Erich Maria Remarque, Dick Francis, Agatha Christie and Vlasta Javořická, a Czech author of romantic novels for women. It is also important to point out that men and women have quite different literary tastes.
Women and men have totally different choices. For example, the most popular book among men is Good Soldier Shrek, and for women is Granny, written by Božena Němcová, or for example, Agatha Christie. Women read more fiction compared to men who read more factual and scholarly books.
While Jan Travinček's first surveys focused on public libraries and to reading fiction, the most recent one looks at the book market. Although he had noticed a certain decline in the number of books bought, Mr. Travinček says he is more concerned about the excess of books on the market.
What we have felt recently is a feeling of being overcrowded by books.
When you say overcrowded by books, you mean that the choice is so big that we actually don't know what book to choose?
Yeah, exactly. It is called a consumer paradox. If you have, for example, four books to be chosen, you can choose one. If you have 400 books for your choice, you are able to choose nothing. And it's highly questionable if the Czech book market can handle so many books while remaining profitable.
In recent years, a number of Czech publishing houses have ventured into e-book publishing, but most of the Czech population still prefer the old-fashioned paper. Jan Travinček again.
There was a big surprise concerning e-reading or e-books. We asked people if they are ready to accept reading e-books only in the close future. And what surprised me was not that the big majority of Czechs don't accept this behavior, but the amount of those who don't accept this got bigger compared to 2010 survey. That's a big surprise for me. We are involved in digital culture and we are not ready to accept that digital materials are the only ones.
The surveys also came up with some interesting facts concerning children's reading habits. Apparently, the amount of time spent on the internet is not at the expense of reading, as many people worry. On the contrary, children who are computer literate also tend to read more. And how to make sure that we pass our love for books on to the next generation? According to Jan Travinček, the role of family is irreplaceable. So if you want to bring up future readers, you have to read to them from a very early age.
Ruth Franková with that edition of Czech Life. And we move on now to My Prague.
We've been here for, 15 years now, the whole festival, and I think nobody actually knows what the statue means.
Karel Och pauses at a stone statue of a woman with an unusual headdress. It's on the stairway at the headquarters of the Karlovy Vary International Film Festival, of which he is artistic director. The organization's offices are on Panska Street in downtown Prague, directly behind the Holy Cross Church on the bustling Na Příkopě. Our tour of Karel Och's Prague begins at the festival HQ, where he has a cozy office overlooking Panska.
It is quite an unusual place. As you can see, it's connected to the building of a church. And even if you look around, it looks like an old monastery, or at least the rooms have this shape and kind of an atmosphere as well. The reason why I mentioned kind of a monastery look for this place is connected to 18th century, when the order of Piarists moved here, and they actually founded the church in mid-18th century, and they also established a school and lyceum in the street here. For instance, the famous Czech composer Jakub Jan Ryba studied here as a 15-year-old boy, and then obviously every Czech person knows his Christmas Mass. So it is this strong educational aspect of these places which we in a way try to incorporate in what we do in terms of the festival program. So the atmosphere is amazing. We cannot really do any changes here because it's kind of a monument and it has this character. So forget about the air conditioning system. Sometimes in the summer it would be great, but...
Well, I was going to ask you, how is it working in a building of this age in the center of Prague?
It's beautiful because the Prague Center has a certain atmosphere, and this one small unit of Prague Center perfectly reflects that beautiful historical atmosphere. What I always appreciate about Prague is that there is this encounter of different architectural styles or different epochs or from different places meeting in one place, but always with very strong historical kind of vertical or sensation of this heavyweight history in that's what we feel in these places, and actually all the reconstruction works which are being done here and which have been done throughout the last 12 years, which is how long I spent here, need to respect the monumental character of it and try to preserve as much spirit as possible.
Where we're sitting on Panska is very much what they call in Czech a dobrá adresa, a good address. Just a few doors away is the Kaunitsky Palace, which houses the Mucha Museum. And you're also just a few steps away from what I consider, if Prague has a main street, it's the main street, na Przykopje. How is it for you, or how do you find working in such a location?
Well, from the practical point of view, it's very convenient because using the public transport, you are in this place pretty quickly from everywhere you go. I live outside of town, a small village, so I usually leave my car in the suburbs and take the metro, and it never takes more than 15-20 minutes. It might look different, but it's not really amazingly convenient in terms of, let's say, having lunch in a nice place which doesn't take too much of your time. I think in that respect there's still changes to be made, but again, I'd love to go back to the sense of history and aesthetics, and that's one of the most beautiful places I've been to. Speaking of history, not far from here there is a street called Politických vězňů, of political prisoners, which has a really turbulent history because up in the very end of the street, which corners with Washingtonova, there is a famous Pečkárna, the Peček Palace, which used to be the Gestapo headquarters, and a lot of people were tortured and died there. It is an irony of history that in the street of political prisoners, the headquarters of the Communist Party are. But, you know, that's how things are nowadays.
Have you been there? Because I've been there, and it's like traveling back in time.
No. I only passed by, and it already feels like it a little bit. So I only saw it from outside.
Perhaps 5 minutes walk away from the offices of the Karlovy Vary Film Festival is the Lucerna Palace, an early 20th century complex, actually a whole city block, built by the grandfather of Václav Havel. The site of Prague's most magnificent cinema, Lucerna's warren of passageways, is also home to restaurants, shops and theatres. But what makes it part of Karel Ox Prague?
This is probably, at least for me, one of the most fascinating buildings in the centre of Prague. I believe it has a lot of dark corners. I've never visited. Once I saw a film by Juraj Hertz called Passage, which was shot here and takes place here, and I was amazed how many corridors and hidden corners are here. This is a place I've seen a lot of movies in Cinema Lucerna. I've met with a lot of friends here throughout the past 10 years, which I spent in Prague. And we are exactly now 5 meters from the place where my favorite cafe used to be. It was called Popo Cafe Petal, and actually back in 2001 was a place where I took my future wife for the first time in Prague. Back then, I wasn't aware of the fact that she was with someone else, but maybe the positive atmosphere of the cafe got me all encouraged to step in, and we often recall this place. It was a really nice cafe which would close around 11 p.m. but then there was another small entrance, and we could stay inside and listen to loud music with the bartenders, and have a lot of drinks and a lot of fun. So it's really a place with a lot of interesting small shops.
Also, as well as the actual cinema, this whole complex has a strong connection with film.
Of course, with the Havel's family and Miloš Havel, the former owner of Barando Studios and this building, and who was the uncle of the late President Václav Havel, and Václav Havel's brother Ivan and his wife Dagmara Havlová are the current owners of the cinema and the building, I believe, as well. So, and I recently met Mrs. Havlová, and I know from her that she's planning to open a small 50-seat cinema. She cares very much about having film community here and having all kinds of different screenings here. A few weeks ago, I met here with my friend Mark Cousins, the Northern Ireland-born, Edinburgh-based, amazing filmmaker who had a masterclass related to the story of film. So yeah, it's lively here. It has still this artistic spirit which it used to have, and all big parties are being held here after the film premieres, etc. So it is a place I visit fairly often.
Do you know, is the cinema here the oldest cinema in Prague?
Actually, we touched this subject with Mark. It might be the, not only in Prague, but I don't want to misinform you, but it definitely is one of the oldest, not only in Prague, I would say, of its kind. And I recently heard about this activity coming from, I believe, from the UK, to create a kind of association of the owners or operators of old cinemas, which are so unlike the multiplexes now, just in order to share their worries and their ideas, and to create this kind of alliance against this strong movement, which has a consequence the slow dying of such beautiful cinemas.
The final stop in our tour of Prague is another grand building, the Rondo Cubist Adria Palace on the corner of Jungmanova and Narodni. It turns out that long before he started working in the Karlovivari program department, the Adria played a role in Karel Ok's development as a film buff.
Back in the mid-90s, I used to spend a lot of time here because Ponrepo, which I mentioned before, being cinema of the National Film Archive, before it moved to Bartolomejska, it actually was here in the second floor, if I'm not mistaken, next to a cafe. And back in those days, I would frequent the law school, but by the mid-90s, I realized it was not my vocation, so I kind of slowed down with studies and decided to work on my English by watching a lot of old American films with Czech subtitles. And
So you started speaking like Humphrey Bogart or somebody like that?
Yeah, like Tony Montana. My father took me to movies. James Cagney. No, it's... you can't easily catch some accents, but no, it actually does help a lot, and I often mention Italy as a place I visit often because of my wife. They have all movies are dubbed there, so that's one of the reasons why they don't really speak well English. Anyway, I remember vividly a certain day of the month, which was by the 15th of the month. I knew that the program for next month was coming, and there was a very sophisticated system of reservation, so I really enjoyed waiting in a cafe for the moment when the program got there, and I would take it and immediately book all my screenings. I always had bread and some cheese because I didn't have much money to go to restaurants, but those were really strong and beautiful days, and I met a lot of future friends who stayed in the film business, and we remember many screenings together, many silent movie screenings with the live piano accompaniment, etc. So it's a place filled with memories.
And tell me, this is a bit off the subject of film. I presume in the last few years, since you became the artistic director of Karlovy Vary International Film Festival, that you travel even more than you used to. Does traveling that much, has it impacted how you see Prague?
Of course, I enjoy more being in Prague because, as you said, I spent less time. Also, I have a chance to compare. I mean, I go often to Vienna, I go to Istanbul. I talk often abroad with friends or colleagues from the business about Prague. So I kind of re-appreciate Prague through the opinion of my friends abroad, because obviously Prague is a known city and most of them came here. So, yeah, in a way, I spend more time talking about Prague than in the past when I used to live here more, because now it's maybe half of my time I spent abroad traveling.
Ian Willoughby's guest on My Prague this week was Karel Och, Artistic Director of the Karlovy Vary Film Festival. A reminder that you're with Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. And now in the final part of our programme, it's over to Hallie Crane, an American college student and avid foodie who investigates the culinary art scene and food culture of the Czech Republic.
As a Southern California native, Mexican food is not just a fundamental part of my diet. It's a staple. While I tried to load up on as many burritos as I could before departing for Prague, my cravings have recently become dire, and my search for Mexican cuisine in Prague has been my most important goal over the past week. My initial search began through word of mouth. The first time I had heard the word burrito since coming here was in a tram while eavesdropping on a Czech conversation a couple was having, when the words burrito loco were the only two that I could understand. My ears perked up immediately, and on my smartphone I looked up the location of this beacon of hope. I found the coordinates and rushed to the nearest location. Soon I was standing in front of everything I had been hoping for. A small, tableless, fluorescent-lit, multicolored burrito joint whose menu on the board above me only displayed the simple essentials. Burritos, tacos, and quesadillas. While it was much cleaner than I was used to, the shop was the closest thing I was going to get to a hole in the wall back in L.A., and soon I was paying for a burrito for the first time in Czech crowns. While the list of burrito fillings touched on all the right points, the flavors were bland. The beans seemed overprocessed and the meat was lukewarm. A burrito should be spicy and filling and steaming with heat from the first bite. A burrito should be dirty, it should be messy and greasy and definitely not something you'd want to eat on a first date. Burrito Loco was not that. The concept of a non-stop 24-hour fast food burrito joint in the middle of the beer capital of the world makes a whole lot of sense, but the restaurant is not a success. Burrito Loco has the potential to be an absolute hit, but misses the mark by just a few jalapenos. As my search for the best Mexican continued, I landed at Las Adelitas. The portions were small, and after quickly clearing my plate, I was asking for the menu again to order something else. My enchiladas were all right, but needed a bit more spice and cheese. I was surprised at the success of the mole sauce and guacamole, but the measly serving of black beans was unacceptable. Following the trend of alcohol consumption in Prague, the drinks were one of the highlights of the meal, especially the mango margaritas. Overall, the food may have been good to a Mexican neophyte, but for this connoisseur, my search had to continue. After a week of researching and eating, my prayers were finally answered at Cantina. Each time I called and was denied a table, my excitement grew. I was finally accepted into the exclusive restaurant and shown to a table at 5 p.m. on a Monday for dinner. The atmosphere made me feel more at home than anywhere else since arriving to Prague. Colorful adornments and bottles of tequila lined the brick walls of the warm and cozy dining room. Burlap sacks covered the high ceilings and acapulco plates sat on wooden tables. It was everything I was waiting for. Salmon ceviche was the first seafood I had eaten since coming to the Czech Republic and filled me with nostalgia for the Pacific Ocean. Chili flakes accompanied fresh lime juice and offered a perfect starter to the heavy meal I was about to thoroughly enjoy. The chicken tacos could have been absolutely perfect if the tortilla had been fresher, and preferably made in-house. The vessel whose great responsibility it is to hold the important delicious contents must be strong and holdable. This tortilla disintegrated within a few bites, and although I'm a master at showing my food who's the boss, I was forced to work the rest of the dish with a fork and knife. My first bite of the enchiladas de res almost brought me to tears. It was everything I had been searching for, everything I had known and was desperate to experience again. The slow-roasted beef tucked inside blue corn tortillas and covered with a spicy red sauce made me sink into my seat. It was the kind of ooey-gooey Mexican food that my mother coined the term for. It was the kind of dish that makes me feel like I've just been wrapped in a warm blanket and sung a lullaby too, and all I can do is smile. I'm happy to announce that for burrito heads everywhere, Prague can fill that craving which torments you most. Mexican cuisine may be different than back home, but certainly not unattainable. Adios, my fellow foodies, and buen appetito.
Hallie will be back same time next week, and I'm afraid that's all from us here at Radio Prague for today. You'll find us online at radio.cz. Should you like to contact us, write to english@radio.cz. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for joining us and take care.